Yes, that was Gordon Lightfoot, An Early Morning Rain. Now, in the studio, I have our own Pat Meehan, and we're going to talk about this pyrite scandal that's going on, and it is a scandal. And for those of you who don't know, pyrite, as far as I know, Pat can correct me if I'm wrong, was an ingredient that was used in the cement for foundations of houses built in the boom. And this caused subsidence in the houses, which caused major damage. There was repair bills from 20,000 to 70,000, I think, was granted. And the insurance company, as far as I know, are refusing to pay out. So, Pat, do you want to tell us your own experience so far?
Yeah, well, the pyrite situation directly affects me because we lived up to July last year in a little apartment complex down in Donnycarney, which was affected with pyrite. So we moved in July 2010, and there's only 20 units in the complex, and they were built mainly for senior citizens, but I'm not a senior citizen, but we did a deal with Dublin City Council. I'll just tell you the story briefly about why we were there in the first place. We sold our house back to Dublin City Council under a special pilot scheme. And we then gave Dublin City Council a proportion of the sales price of the house, which was, in our case, €60,000. And they allocated us this apartment in Donnycarney, and we also pay rent. And the rent is maximum rent because it's means tested. So, you know, it was fairly a good chunk out of your wage. Anyway, so before we moved into it, I spent 2 weeks down in the apartment, plastering all over the cracks. But, you know, if you move into a place, you can find cracks here and there. And the place needed painting and decorating because there had been previous tenants in it. Like, the building, the place had already been open 2 years when we moved in. Anyway, I did all the, filled in all the cracks and did a paint job. And everything was grand. So we moved in, and about 6 months later, we started to notice the cracks reappearing, but we didn't pay too much heed to it because plaster can expand in a fairly new build, you know, and you can expect that sort of thing to happen. And it was the cracks were appearing around the door frames and around the window frames and along the ceiling, where the wall joins the ceiling. And there was a fairly substantial crack appearing in the bedroom wall, one of the bedroom walls.
And a bit nerve-wracking,
Well, it wasn't at the time. And I filled this main crack in the bedroom wall in again and painted over it. And didn't come back again after about a month and a half. But then we were on the first floor. The apartments are two stories high. We were on the second story. We started to hear accounts by some of the other people on the ground floors that the cracks in their walls were pretty bad, and even things like skirting boards starting to come away from the walls and the cracks spreading and big gaps between the cracks. You know what I mean? You could put your finger into some of them, they were that deep. And one woman had her kitchen inspected, and all the tiles had to be taken off the walls. And they reinforced the wall in the kitchen with a metal band. And so that's grand, like, you know. Anyway, so...
Yeah. Were these the original builders, or were these...
No, this is Dublin City Council.
Yeah.
Because Dublin City Council owned the buildings. They weren't built by Dublin City Council. Yeah. They were built on contract by a building company. And then Dublin City Council took over the administration of them.
Oh, I see, yeah.
So nobody thought anything more... Nobody knew anything about pyrite at that stage. It only came to our knowledge when, actually my wife, okay, the way we found out about this problem was 2 years ago, my wife knew somebody who, shall I say, could find answers to questions. They were in a position to be able to ask questions of certain organisations and get the relevant questions back. So, this person never came back to my wife with any answers. And we kind of thought, well, that's a bit odd because he was very honourable. He's a very honourable person and he would... But he couldn't for a reason. He couldn't come back and say anything for a reason. But anyway, 2 weeks after my wife asked this man, could he find out what was going on, Dublin City Council came around the whole place and asked everybody, would we go to a meeting? And we all did. And then the bombshell dropped and they said, there's a problem with the construction of the buildings. You're all going to have to move out until we fix the place back up. So, I mean, there was consternation.
I'd say there was, yeah.
Like, but there's a lot of elderly people there, and they were saying, where are we going to go? Why should we move out? What? Maybe the problem isn't as serious as you're making it out to be. And they said, David, they said, and the council's reaction to this was, if you don't all move out, in 5 years' time, the buildings will be in such a state of disrepair that they'll collapse.
My God.
So you got to move out now. So it took us over a year. It took Dublin City Council over a year to get everybody satisfactory temporary accommodation, because not everybody wanted to go where Dublin City Council were suggesting everybody goes. You know what I mean? They were offering people other flats that were not up to standard. People were looking at flats and saying, that's too small, my furniture won't fit in there, I don't like it, it's upstairs. A lot of people in that complex would have physical ailments and stuff, you know what I mean? Someone wouldn't be able to walk upstairs, you know what I mean?
The community was just broken up and
absolutely
sent to all different areas.
Absolutely, some people fared pretty good out of the whole thing. I mean, one couple in particular, who shall remain nameless, got a lovely two-bedroom apartment, whereas they only had one in Dunnycarney.
Yeah.
Now, having said that, it wasn't in an area where they would really choose to go to, but it's a beautiful apartment because we visited.
Yeah.
Other people were accommodated. Everybody scattered all over the place. We're all on the north side, but we're all scattered, except for one chap who's ended up in Cork Street in an apartment over there because he's he's incapacitated in the sense that he drives one of these mobile
wheelchairs.
Yeah. But so the flat he got in Cork Street is on, it's bigger than the one he had in Dunnycarney, and he's going to stay put. Do you know what I mean?
So when the complex is fixed up, you'll all be moved back in again, if it's fixed up.
Well, it's actually being worked on at the minute, because they started, well, I have to say, now, like, they got everybody out. The final two couples were cleared out last July, a year ago, 2010. The place became empty in 2010, July. And there was nothing done to it until February this year, 2011. So it was lying idle for 7 months or 8 months. And the problem wasn't getting any better, you know what I mean? Because I went down a few times. There were still bits of post that you could go down and pick up. And I had a look around the complex a few times. And you could see the cracks had in the exterior walls of some of the buildings had gotten worse.
Gotten worse, And
they still hadn't done anything at this stage.
Yeah.
But, I mean, in fairness to Dublin City Council, they had to put the job out to tender to different builders. They had to try and get a decent quotation for it. They would have to be, I think there's bonds and all, builders have to come up with and stuff like that, and sign sort of agreements and so forth.
So the original builder wasn't brought to boot?
No.
Wasn't?
No.
They didn't say, you come in here and fix this up?
They couldn't, because he'd gone bust.
Oh, yeah, right.
He was one of those companies that went bust, you know what I mean? When the boom started to go bust, he went bust. He was one of them. So
it's a crazy situation.
Well, I mean, myself and the other 19 tenants down in Dunnycarney are very lucky, you could say, in a sense, because the work is going on at the moment down there. The builder's in. They're ahead of schedule as far as I can ascertain. They're telling us we'll be moved back in by February the 4th at the latest next year. I can say this on air, and I know nobody's going to give it to me. One of the agreements we made with Dublin City Council for moving out, and for the inconvenience of moving out, we said, OK, what are you offering us besides temporary accommodation?
Yeah.
And they said, for the duration of the time you're out of Dunnycarney, no rent.
OK.
No rent. Yeah. OK. Yeah. They also said no gas bills for the duration of the time you're out, but that didn't come to pass, because they sent a circular around telling people that was a they said it was a clerical error on their behalf, so we'd have to pay gas bills. So we're all paying the gas bills, but that's neither here nor there. I said the people from Dunnycarney are in a lucky position, because we know we're going to be going back there and the place will be fixed up. I feel sorry for all the people, the other people in North Dublin.
Yes, and all over the country.
And all over
as well.
The place, who bought their houses and who are in the same position with regard to the pyrite, but who have no recourse. They can't do anything about it. Their houses, when the boom fell apart, their houses dropped in value. But add to
on
that,
top of that,
the pyrite problem, they are really in an awful position. I would hate to be in that position today, but I really feel sorry for them.
Yeah, it's a disgrace. And the insurance company are saying they won't accept liability. And their own Enda Kenny came out and said it's a civil matter.
That's right. So the government are washing their hands of it too, aren't
they?
I really don't know what's going to happen. Besides that, they're saying it's something like a €70,000 to repair each housing unit. If they said that there was a initially when this thing about the pyrite broke, I think it was 2008 or 2009, the estimate was that there was about 60,000 houses affected by the pyrite. Now, they've downgraded the estimate. They're saying there's about 20,000. There could be 20,000 units.
Is this just in
units.
Dublin? Or
No, it's overall, I think, isn't
it? I have information here. Dublin, Offaly, Louth, Meath, Kildare. This pyrite thing is happening.
That's right.
There's probably more.
Well, there could be, but I mean, if maybe 20,000 houses affected is a conservative estimate. We don't know. If they went from 60,000 downgraded to 20,000, there could be more than 20,000, John. We don't know.
Yeah,
do you know
yeah.
what I mean? But I don't know how the figures add up. But I mean, say we apply the 20,000 units that are affected by €70,000. Per unit to fix up. I'm not great at the math now.
It's a calculator. Lot of money.
And it's a lot of money, you know. And where's it going to come from? That's the thing.
Yeah, well, especially if the insurance people are saying they're not going to pay it out, you know, and the government are saying, well, it's not up to us. It's a disaster for the families in these houses. As you say yourself, you pity them because the stress that it's causing. And
imagine facing into the situation where you didn't know whether your house was ever going to be fixed up. You can't sell it. You can't sell it anyway because nobody's buying. But you certainly can't sell it because of the problem. And I mean, I read comments on. I went online yesterday evening just to have a look and see what some people's feelings were about their homes that were affected by pyrite. And I read one from a man in Glasnevin. Who said he discovered the problem in his house that he had bought, and he had a mortgage for it, and he was talking about the where the cracks appeared, very similar to the ones I experienced, and he said he talked about the curtains blowing in the bedroom in the sitting room window, because the cracks between the window frames are so big that the wind is just coming through and blowing the curtains, you know, that sort of a way. And he was talking about the doors shrinking away from the door frames and stuff like that. And he really was at his wit's end, and he kind of commented about the fact that he knew he couldn't sell the house. He didn't want to try to sell it because he knew that if some poor unfortunate came along and bought this, let's say he did a quick repair job himself just to cover over the cracks.
Just to sell the house.
He said his conscience wouldn't allow him to do that because he wouldn't like to do that to some poor other person coming in and leaving the problem to them.
Yeah, he wouldn't he went through, he wouldn't like this.
No, of course he wouldn't. Fair play to him.
There are people out there who would.
Well, there are probably people out there who would, and who would be very unscrupulous and who would just consider, if I can make a few bob back and get the heck out of this place, I'm going to
take it. Somebody else's problem.
But
like our government are saying.
Well, isn't that what they're doing? Yeah, they're reneging on what they said in the first instance. And they say that they would help initially.
I think they did, yeah. No, I'm not
sure. I'm not 100%
sure.
I'm
not sure either. I'm not sure. It could have, maybe it wasn't this government or the previous government. You wouldn't know.
Well, I may not have been this government, but the previous government may have said something to that effect. I'm not certain.
I'm not quite sure. Have you been following the campaign, the Pyrite Action Group? Or
I haven't really, John. I think you know a little bit more.
Yeah, they've been holding protest meetings, and they're doing a dull presentation next Tuesday on October the 11th, where they're coming in. They're going to show slideshows of the photographs of the cracks and all this, and they're going to have a question and answer session then afterwards.
Right. Where's that taking place?
It's in Dáil. It's in it's before an Erectus committee.
Right. Okay.
In the Dáil. So if anything comes of that, I don't know.
That's next Tuesday the 11th. What time?
Yes. I'm not sure what time. I'll probably have it here somewhere. But hopefully we can get somebody from the Pirate Action Group.
Action Group, yeah.
See how this went.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe you'll join us in the studio again.
I'd love to, yeah, you know? Because... yeah, maybe at that stage then I might be able to have an update on how things are progressing down in Dunnycarney, because the builders are there Monday to Friday, 9 to 5 working hours, and they are quite approachable by people who, the tenants who've lived there. Once you tell them who you are, they're quite amenable to telling you how they're progressing with the job and showing you around and letting you see, within guidelines, that is, because it's still a building site and... They have to adhere to all the safety regulations, like hard hats and all that sort of thing. But I mean, they are quite forthcoming with the information on how the progress of the 20 units in Dunnycarney are going. And so I might be able to find out by next Tuesday how things are going in that regard, and I can let you know then if you're. You know,
yes, that would be great. And
but do you think? Will somebody from the radio station be going over to Dáil Éireann and to talk with the
I'm
action
not
group?
Sure. Nothing has been mentioned and nothing has been arranged, right. But we'll follow up on that.
Yeah,
and we'll follow up on this conversation.
Okay, John.
Thank you very much, Pat.
Thanks for letting me
Thank you very much for coming in. That was great.